You know, the interesting fact about the Bible, and by the way, while I was stumbling around, I picked up my wrong translation today, so, but anyway, it's readable anyway there. I thought it was another Bible that I had, but I've only got 400 Bibles, so I guess that's a good mistake. But you know, the interesting fact about the Bible is that there are obscure verses which may remain that way to the reader for years until one day the Holy Spirit shines upon a particular verse or chapter. This occurs in today's scripture passage. I've had that happen to me numerous times. You know, I'm in my 101st reading of the Bible now. Now, you say, boy, he knows everything about the Bible. Let me tell you, with the most humble expression, oh, no, I don't know everything about the Bible, because when I read it through, I discover things that maybe at a particular time I needed that scripture verse in my own faith journey. Now, I might have read that passage 20 times and it never hit me, but there may be that moment where that it stands out in three-dimensional form. I'm sure that's happened to you as well. Well, there was the oddest request, and this is what stands out. The oddest request was made by Christ to the disciples. Christ told them not to tell people about him. And then another verse in here was, who do you say that I am? Christ told them not to tell them. And the question must be, why did Christ tell them not to tell people about him? Because from infancy, it seems like in the church we say we share our faith with others, but here he said, no, don't do it. And perhaps the most logical reason is that the Lord's followers did not take him very seriously. Some things can become trite and overused, and even in the realm of religion, can deteriorate to shallowness. In the 1800s in upper state New York, probably western New York, out toward Buffalo and Niagara Falls, there was a nickname for that region in religion. It was called the Burned Over District. It had had so many preachers come through there and so many different denominations trying to just convert the people over that everybody, believe it or not, got tired of hearing the Bible. They'd been worn out with preachers hitting them over the head with the Bible. And, of course, they did recover from that. That wasn't a permanent syndrome. But it's interesting sometimes that perhaps every so often in our own faith that maybe some things about it becomes trite and even overused. As witnessed in the religious composite of this country today, there are numerous people who claim to be devout in the faith, but just putting on a front. Have you ever noticed that? It's like you see something at an antique shop. It's a beautiful piece of furniture, and you buy it and get it home. It's just a piece of plywood underneath the veneer. Well, that's the way it is sometimes with us. Our faith becomes like plywood, not like solid oak or cherry or mahogany. Think about that. Do you ever get to the point where you say, I don't feel like reading the Bible today, or I don't feel like going to church today, I don't feel like doing this or that? It's because sometimes we need to be renewed in our faith, in our heart, and in our minds as well. You know, a lot of people only have heart religion. You need mind religion too, because it's holistic to do so. No wonder a lot of times we get frustrated. You know, there's also a danger for ministers to suffer. They call that burnout, you know. But it happens. I've seen it happen. I've never had that burnout syndrome, but come closest. Fortunately, I rescued myself before it happened. But it can happen to anyone, whether it's the preacher or the layperson or whatever it is, it can happen. And your faith can become trite and even, I call it plastic religion today. But possibly what Christ said about not sharing info about him to others could have alluded to cynics and skeptics and even false prophets. In our contemporary age that we live, there are some people who cheapen or misrepresent the Son of God in the same way. Just turn on your television and you have your choice of televangelists. Some are very good, but some are not. That's the importance of knowing and reading your Bible to see if they really check out. Now, some churches I could go to and read Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they would think it was right out of a holy writ. Now, I'm not saying that to be ridiculous or shove ridicule, but it happens. It actually happens. Don't be misguided. A discerning person of faith can usually tell legitimate religion from a fake variety. Likewise, it's when the question is asked, what is the difference between a hobby and a job? Is there? Sometimes it can be a combination of both there. And it could be answered in different and several ways. A hobby is something that's usually enjoyed, while a job is not necessarily for recreational amusement. But I enjoy what I do. So it's not a boredom, it's not monotonous, and it's not trite. But I have some hobbies too that I like, and that's why I've got a cluttered house, because of my hobbies. But the thing is, you have a balance in your faith. That's where it counts. But you know, people have hobbies because they are more voluntary without any serious responsibilities. Well, a job is a vocation to pay the bills. So how then is faith viewed? Is it a hobby, or can it be interpreted as a job? Now, I'm not going to answer all that, because I think that's a personal and individual definition. I think you need to think about it yourself. I'm not going to answer that for you. So, you know, as I said, it could be a mixture of both. Having in your faith, it may be a hobby, and it may also be a job. The Christian lifestyle isn't something which can be forced upon people. Some people who look at faith more as a drudgery and a struggle. A drudgery and a struggle. A lot of people don't come to church anymore because they feel like, well, I don't want to go to church because, you know, it's boring, or I just don't get anything out of it. Hey, it may not be the church or the people there that's at fault or responsible. The individual comes, and it's their own spirituality that needs some repair work done. If you don't get your car tuned up every so often, it's going to start chug-a-lugging. It may not start up when you need it. That's the way it is about our faith. We need to get it tuned up every so often. But we let it go sometimes. We don't do anything about it. If you want the preacher to come and spoon feed you, I could do it, but I don't think that would be very practical. But, you know, a minority of people who attend church, and I said a minority, not everybody, they just dread it. So if people go to church with an attitude that it's a fate worse than death, then how may happiness be found in their faith in the first place? That is viewing faith as a struggle, and it will not be a pleasure at all. Is there joy in your faith this morning? I'm not talking about something made up or concocted, but inner joy. That is something that is very important. Grace is the inspiration to fuel our faith and strengthen our souls even during difficult moments of life. The question of the hour is, are you a God pleaser or a people pleaser? And a lot of times we end up on the wrong end of the stick there. It is by faith that we love God and seek to do everything that He desires, even if it may be inconvenient. Even if it may be inconvenient. When faith is labeled a hobby, it must be realized that it's more than that. Faith is not just something which is done when we have the time or feel like it. Being a Christian should permeate every area of our lives, our thoughts and actions, the way we conduct business, do our homework, or treat and view our possessions. To follow God must begin with an inward change and renewal. Our personalities are at the very core of who we are, with the characteristics that give us identity and make us unique individuals. Every person I'm looking at in here has been created in the image of God, but we're all different. Now, we're human beings. That's one commonality. But each of you have traits, have gifts, have talents, have just some wonderful attributes that I could never imitate, nor could you imitate the person sitting next to you, because God has uniquely gifted you with things that nobody else has. What about your fingerprints? If everybody had the same fingerprints, background checks wouldn't be any good, would they? So that's what it's all about. Use what God has given you. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you know, that's where it takes a little praying involved. Ask God what he wants you to do. That's, to some people, a scary thing. But God won't have you do things that will put you in a situation that you're not happy or uncomfortable with. Yes, you may have to do some things that's inconvenient, but if you're already equipped to do those, it shouldn't be a big problem or duty like that. You know, it is very rare to find people nowadays who enjoy their jobs and where they are going in life. I told a young person the other day, I said, find something that you love to do. There's nothing worse than working at a job and you're miserable. And I'm sure some of us have had that happen. And that's an important thing. You've got grandchildren, you've got children, you've got nieces or great nieces and great nephews that are in the job market. Discuss that with them if the opportunity arises. That, yes, find it. Now, if they find a job, it may pay less, but hey, they're going to be a lot happier than if they had a big high-paying job and miserable all the time. And I hear that from people. Oh, I've got all these board meetings. I keep a headache all the time. Do you really want to go through life with a headache? Now, I'm not talking about people with migraines. That's a different thing. I'm talking about a headache in relation to what you do. And that is something we all have to keep in mind in life. I don't care how old you are. Sometimes you may be in a situation where you just don't like it. And that happens and has happened to all of us. But you know, people strangely look forward sometimes to something in the future because they just don't currently enjoy the circumstances around them or their environment. Think about that. But now, sometimes we always want to know out of curiosity what's over that hill or horizon or over the mountain. There's nothing really wrong with that. I have had that itchy feel in my feet. I'm going to see what's over that. But if it's an escapism, that may not be all that great. But if a person, as I said, can find something they love to do, then it's a done deal. Most importantly, are we contented and satisfied where we are in our faith at the moment? Now, contentment goes even beyond faith. Contentment is priceless. You cannot put a checkbook on contentment, and it should be held in the highest value. Talked to a friend the other night on the phone. He says, I've been bothered with ulcers for the past 2 weeks. I said, well, I thought you got rid of them. He said, I know it, but he said, it's a matter of stress, and says, I just cannot be contented right now. And he says, contentment continues to evade his heart and his mind. Are you contented at this moment? Or are you just sort of rumbling on, hoping that door will open and you can escape through it? Sometimes we have to deal with things. And some, you know, and I said this to a man just this morning. a friend of his died, and he's worried about, you know, some loans that he took out and something like that. I said, 99% of our worries never come true. That is a proven fact. Now, I worry too. And then I'm reminded, is it really going to happen? Or am I just exaggerating? My imagination runs away. Do you all have imaginations? Do you ever think like that? It happens to every one of us at one time or the other. You know, there may be little financial gain regarding our faith sometimes when we go out and assist people or do whatever we can to be beneficial to them. Somebody may need help. But you just think about this. When you're reaching out to somebody else, those worries, and I'm going to use that word trite again, they become trite. Helping others is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. Think about that. It's an offshoot, I would say. It's not the foundation, but it's an offshoot of our faith. When we get involved in other people's lives, it can really make a difference, and it can help our faith, because a lot of times there's blessings galore strewn about and throughout. We just do it out of love. Just work at a food bank or community center or something like that. Think about that. You're too busy helping somebody out to do that. I've worked as a volunteer, not so much here, but in other churches. And when I do that, it's just amazing how minuscule my own little problems are when you see what people are facing out there. And there is, you can experience that genuine satisfaction. And when we encounter or face people who have little or no faith foundation, then we understand how much we should thank God daily for nurturing our relationship with Him. Knowing there's eternal life and that God loves us is to realize that Christianity is more than a hobby and a job. Perhaps hobbies and vocations may be intertwined to work together for the glory of God. You know, in these used to, when they had these places where they had those looms where people would make rugs or fabrics and everything, the person that ran the loom, and I can't remember, weaver, I think that's what they call him, the weaver. You remember Silas Marner, the book Silas Marner? He was a weaver of Ravelo. And anyway, but they would always make sure those threads went through and all that. But they didn't really pay that much of attention about each color, because they knew they would be intertwined to form some type of a design. Now, the backside of the thing, you know, that was being done, whether it was a rug or whatever you call it, it would look like a mishmash, you know. But on the flip side, it could be one of the most beautiful tapestries you would ever want to own. So in our faith, perhaps our faith is a combo of a vocation and a hobby. God does things like that. He gifts us with so many enjoyable things to do. So are you enjoying your faith right now? Tuesday night in the Shorter Catechism, the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, those of you who will attend Tuesday night, I want you to think about that word, enjoy Him forever, and come to the Bible study and share with me and share with the group what your definition of enjoying God forever. That is a very interesting question, but it's our answer to the catechism question, but it's also an overlooked one too. Just think, if we actually learned to enjoy God forever, what that would mean in your own faith walk and journey. It would be something fabulous, in fact. So, hobby and vocation intertwine. That's not a bad arrangement after all. It's a way of life if God is included. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for providing us with our faith. Thank you for equipping us to extend our faith as an offshoot to help others out. Lord, we know that in this world we're going to be finding many obstacles, but in those obstacles we know we can find grace too. Help us, O Lord, to deepen our faith through your nurturing. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.